Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And last week we read and heard a sermon on the first half of the chapter. And this morning we'll be hearing God's word on the second half of the chapter, the rest of the story. I'll be reading through verse 54. And actually I may just read all the way to the end, through verse 58. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word, 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around with it, because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you should come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give you your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along Sha'arin to the road of Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, O king, I do not know." The king answered, "Find out whose son is this young man." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us from 1 Samuel chapter 17. In last week's sermon, we looked at the first part of the story of David and Goliath, part one. And we took special note of the setting. There is a Philistine army that has gathered to fight the Israelites, and the Israelite army has gathered also, seeing them on the hillside. The Philistines, verse 3, are on one hill, the Israelites on the other, with a valley in between. And into that valley in between steps out the champion of the Philistines, Goliath, who is 9 foot tall and well suited in his armor and weapons. Goliath stands and defies the ranks of Israel, and everyone is afraid of this giant as he shouts to them. No one dares go into the valley to fight the Philistine until David volunteers, verse 32, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And that brings us to our text today. And I've included in your bulletins an outline of the structure of this text. There are several chiastic structures in 1 Samuel 17. It's a very long passage. But the one in particular I wanted you to see is somewhat of a thematic structure, and it does reflect for us the meaning of David's speech to Saul in those first few verses of our text. You see, David is responding to Goliath. David is responding at each and every point to Goliath and all of his threatening words and all of his threatening weapons as he responds to his threats to Israel. Our structure begins with verses 5 through 7, where Goliath's equipment is described. Goliath, who is 9 foot tall, Goliath with a bronze helmet on his head, a coat of armor weighing 125 pounds, his javelin on his back, and his spear with the head that weighs 15 pounds. A huge, ferocious person and fearful warrior. The next thing that we read is that Goliath gives a two-part speech to the Israelites. In the first part of his speech, verses 8 through 9, he threatens the Israelites, threatens to put them in slavery. Choose a man to come down and fight me, and if I fight him and kill him, you will be our subjects. You will be our slaves. And in the second part of his speech, verse 10, he defies the ranks of Israel and defies the God of the Israelites. All of Israel, verse 11, is afraid. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And it isn't until verse 32 that someone stands up to this Philistine. David's words to the king of Israel, let no one fear. Let no one lose heart. Let no one be afraid on account of this Philistine. Your servant will stand up and fight him. And as Saul reminds David that he is only a boy and he cannot defeat this great fighter for the Philistines, David responds to Saul in a way which is directly correlated with the speech of Goliath. The number of Hebrew phrases are exactly the same, and it is divided up into a two-part speech in response to the words of the champion of the Philistines. Goliath has threatened to put the Israelites, the sheep of God's people, into slavery. What does David say to Saul? Verse 34, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. Goliath threatens the sheep of Israel, threatens to put them into slavery, asks for one man to come down and fight him, and he will kill him. David reminds Saul of the lion and the bear, the beasts of the field who would try to carry away one of the sheep for his meal, and David would chase it down and strike it and force it to drop the animal and then kill it if the animal turned on him. This is how David views Goliath, and this is what David will do to this threatening Philistine, an uncircumcised warrior against the armies of the Lord. In his second speech, David responds to Goliath's defiance of the armies of God and of God himself. David reminds Saul, who will bring about the victory? Verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. The Lord is in charge. He is in charge of this battle. The Lord has equipped David. And Saul himself tells David, go and the Lord be with you. Well, finally, at the end of our structure, we read this detailed summary of Goliath and all of his equipment and all of his weapons. And now we read the description of David's weapons. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Saul tries to dress David in his army and his warrior equipment. He tries to put the helmet on his head and the coat of armor for protection as David, the warrior of Israel, will go to fight this champion of the Philistines. This is how King Saul is used to waging war. This is how King Saul thinks concerning the things of war against the enemies of Israel. But David's not used to wearing armor. David's not used to dressing up in this way. He takes them off. And then in verse 49 we read that he takes the staff in his hand, his shepherd's staff. He chooses 5 smooth stones from the stream. The stones were usually round and some 2 to 3 inches in diameter. Big, large, smooth stones. He puts them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approaches the Philistine. David, the shepherd of Israel, the shepherd with his staff, the shepherd with his shepherd's bag, and his shepherd's weapons, goes to fight this champion of the Philistines in the name of the Lord. So David goes into the valley. He approaches the Philistine, and in verse 41, the Philistine responds. He sees, with his shield bearer in front of him, David coming closer, and he comes closer. He looks David over, and he sees that he's only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despises him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you should come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give you to the flesh, to your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Whenever a body was left to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, it was a body that was cursed. Goliath calls down the curses of his gods of Dagon and the other gods of the Philistines against David, the anointed, chosen shepherd of God. Once more, Goliath proclaims his defiance of Israel and his defiance of the gods of Israel. David said to the Philistine, verse 45, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give you over to He will give you over to me, and I will give you to the carcasses and the carcasses of the Philistine army, to the birds of the air, the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands." The Philistine moves closer. He trudges forward, all 9 feet, all weapons attached. David, we read, verse 49, runs. He runs quickly towards the battle line to meet this Philistine who trudges forward towards him. He reaches in his bag and he takes out a stone and his sling. Now, don't picture in your mind this morning what you grew up with in the slingshot, the one shaped like a V with a nice ribbon in the middle, and you put a stone and you try to knock down a bird from the tree. This was a sling that swung as he spun it around. And even today, the shepherds in Arabia use these slings as weapons. This is no little toy to play with and knock down some type of weapon as if this is a lucky shot. David was a skilled warrior with his sling, and even today the shepherds in Arabia can be deadly accurate with this sling 500 feet away. David pulls out his sling. He swings the rope, the rock, over his head, and it strikes the Philistine right on the forehead. The stone sinks into his forehead, and he falls face down on the ground. The author tells us in verse 50, David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and he stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and they ran. Goliath, who has been so bold to defy the armies of the living God, who has called down his curses upon the armies of Israel, upon the king of Israel, upon David, God's anointed shepherd. Goliath now lies face down without a head, just like his gods. Do you remember the story in 1 Samuel 5? The Israelites take the Ark of Israel into battle, and the Philistines capture it. The Philistines take the ark and they put it into the temple of their god Dagon as a trophy to their victory and what they have won and what they have accomplished. And in the morning they come in and Dagon lies flat on his face and his head is broken off. They put Dagon back together and they come back the next morning. Dagon again lies flat on his face without his head. And now God's appointed shepherd, David, has struck down the Philistine champion, Goliath, and he too lies face down on the ground without his head. What do we do this morning with this story? How does this apply to my life? I've heard many David and Goliath sermons in my life. And the minister often will say, look how David defeated Goliath. You too can trust God and defeat the Goliaths, the monsters, the difficulties in your life. And that's his application. But you see, there's much, much more going on in here than an example of faith. Certainly, David is faithful. But David is much more than that. The story of David and Goliath is the story of your salvation. The story of David and Goliath is the story of your champion defeating the armies, the champion of the kingdom of darkness. David and his destruction of Goliath foreshadows the destruction that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes on the cross. David comes and he stands before Goliath. And Goliath, in all of his defiance, is crushed in the head and defeated. You see, in Genesis chapter 3, we read the story of Adam and Eve and the fall of man. Satan comes and he tempts Adam and Eve. He tells them that God will make them like slaves, and if they disobey him and eat of the fruit, they will be free. That's what Goliath said. And so they eat of the tree and they're declared sinful, the Lord gives this promise to the woman in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. In our story today, Goliath represents the champion of the kingdom of darkness in his day. He is the champion of the Philistines, the champion of their gods, the champion of their kingdom of darkness. He stands against God's chosen and anointed shepherd, who stands only as a boy before this champion with a slingshot and no armor. In all appearance to all those involved, it is a period of weakness. David the shepherd boy with no weapons before Goliath who is so well armed. Yet God has promised that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. The champion hurls his rock, and it crushes into the forehead of Goliath. And he falls down and is left without a head. You see, when the Son of David, the Son of God, came into this world, it was in an unexpected way. He didn't come with his swords and his spears and his armor. He came and was born in a manger, the son of a carpenter. He spent 40 days listening to the taunting of Satan in the wilderness as Goliath stood 40 days, morning and evening, taunting the Philistines. He stood up to that taunting. He stood up to that temptation. He came as a shepherd to save and deliver his people. He came and brought salvation in an unexpected way death on a cross. Satan never expected that. He never expected or saw it coming. But when Jesus rose from that grave, he gave to the seed of the serpent a final blow, a fatal blow. And someday, that head of that serpent will be completely crushed. Someday, your champion, your Savior, Jesus Christ, will stand like David, holding the Philistine's head, holding Satan's defeated head in his hands. Oh, he's still there. Oh, he's still tempting. But this battle has still been won. This battle has been won and will be completely won. As David crushed Goliath, so Jesus will crush the head of the serpent. But you know, there's more here this morning. For as we think of our Savior and the fatal blow that he has given, we know that Satan still lives. Temptation still lives. And these words of David to Saul reflect what our Savior does. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us these words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Your shepherd is faithful and true. Your shepherd will not let you go. Your shepherd has defeated the seed of the serpent. Your shepherd is victorious, and so will you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the picture of salvation that you give to us in David and Goliath. It's the story of a salvation which was real to the Israelites then, but which is even more real to us as it was fulfilled in our Savior. We pray that we may dwell and reflect upon his victory as we recognize and see what he has accomplished for us, the temptation he has overcome, the death he has endured. We can see the glorious victory that is for all those who are his sheep. We thank you that we can trust and know your promises that someday the head of the serpent will be completely crushed and destroyed, and we will be with you. As we think of these days ahead and the temptations that we struggle with and which draw us away, may we be reminded that our true shepherd has come, that we belong to him, that when the wolf comes to attack, he fights him off and will not let us be snatched away. May we be able to trust in him and to fight off the temptations that so surround us, that we may live a life which reflects what it means to belong to that true shepherd who alone brings to us salvation. Salvation for all eternity. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.